Begin.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
I'm back.
Oh, yeah, we're all back. I'm Morgan Nickel, big mouth dickhead from the internet.
And I'm Dylan Reeve, completely unprepared.
Me too. I've invented a new drink this week, and so at least something will come of this episode. It is a 1 litre jar of milky Milo with about 8 shots of Bailey's in it.
Is this hot Milo or cold Milo?
Well, I mean, there was a little bit of hot Milo in the bottom just so that it would
You like use the hot water just to liquefy the Milo and then just top it up with cold.
Exactly. And then I also dropped some ice cubes in it because, you know, it just feels...
So it's a cold drink. It's not a hot drink.
That's right.
Okay.
This is men's Milo. Actually,
it could be a hot drink, though. There's no reason we can't drink alcohol hot.
That's true. It takes a very long time to evaporate. The idea of cooking off the booze, like in cooking wine or in sherry and so on. No, it doesn't happen almost at all. It takes such a long time for it to cook off, in fact. You know, that little flare-up, it really gets rid of almost none of it. So if you've done that and then...
It's exciting looking, that.
It's very cool. Hey, I'm a fan of theatre and food.
I had, when I was in Vegas at one of the dinners I went to, I had something, a thing I'd never heard of before. It was like, Bananas Foster?
Is that a thing where it's hot on the outside and cold inside?
It's like a flambéed banana thing, caramel. I'd never heard of it before, but all the Americans seem to know what it was, so it must be one of those, you know, cultural dishes.
I'm asking the internet. Wikipedia says it's a dessert made from bananas and vanilla ice cream.
Okay, well, there was definitely booze involved because it burned.
Right. Do you mean caramelized?
They were flambéing it as they served it.
Oh, no, I see. Right, right. Yeah. It was created in 1951 at Brennan's Restaurant in New Orleans.
I love that there are dishes like that, that they can trace the specific restaurant where it started.
Yeah.
Like, so many salads are like that.
Yeah. And I'm sure that's true. I mean, where did the Caesar salad come from? Probably some specific place in New York in 1920.
No, it's absolutely known if you choose to Wikipedia it.
And meanwhile, we're not quite sure where the pavlova comes from.
It comes from New Zealand. The scene.
Yeah.
Anyway, this...
Also the flat white.
This Bailey's Milo thing is friggin' delicious. It is wonderful in winter. Of course, it would be better in winter if it was heated up, but, you know, I like the clink of the ice in the jar.
Now, I was just checking out the old chat room, the live chat room. Snap Internet's in there again, which reminds me of an interesting news story.
I've heard extremely good things about Snap Internet.
Snap are not alone anymore. Well, were Snap alone in being the only sort of residential providers of VDSL? I think they were.
CB's company does
VDSL. Yeah, it doesn't do it residentially. He's a business supplier.
Are you sure that they don't do it for residential?
They might if you ask nice enough, but they're not really a residential supplier. So anyway, telecoms dropped the VDSL bomb, yo. So you can get VDSL. What does the V stand for in VDSL?
I wouldn't like to guess because I can only think of one word. I'm
okay.
Sorry.
Well, anyway,
I'm sorry.
It's faster internets and it's available from Telecom now. Orcon assure me that they are looking at it.
Would your business love faster broadband?
That is an auto-playing video on the Voyager site.
Yeah, Voyager is all about business provision.
Yeah,
they may do residential.
Do you want me to look up what VDSL stands for?
No, not really. It's probably very fast DSL, something stupid.
Very high bitrate digital subscriber line.
It's
actually VHBR DSL.
Yeah, or VHB DSL.
VHBR.
Anyway, whatever. It's more synchronous. It's not fully synchronous, but it's got a higher upstream, it's faster
back
uploads.
Link.
Technology. Seriously, you stop paying attention for like 10 years and everything changes.
I know. I don't really care about most of the stuff. I mean, obviously, I don't care about mixing desks or audio cables, but I also don't care about all this other stuff that I used to know far too much about.
I can still remember AT commands.
I don't even know what kind of RAM I've got in my computer.
It's the long sticky sort.
That's that kind. Is it 30 pins? Yeah. Probably not.
Probably not. Maybe 72 pins.
Mm. It might be. It's probably something 3 or something 4. I don't even know. But
I don't think there is DDR. There's just some RAMs. We should stop talking about this. We just make ourselves look like idiots.
Oh, yeah, for a change.
Have you considered building a computer recently and gone to like look at like motherboards and CPUs and just gone, I have no idea how these compare to one another.
Sort of.
Like this one says it's 3.6 gigahertz, but it's only $60. And this one says it's 2.9 gigahertz, but it's $400. I don't understand.
Well, now I just assume that the more expensive but slower seeming one is probably much better.
Oh, it almost certainly is.
Yeah. I was considering building some kind of NAS thing a couple of months ago.
Went to PB Tech with my sister-in-law because her like 6-year-old, 7-year-old Dell finally shat its pants. And we went to PB Tech, and we were going to buy an ex-lease computer for like $350, like a you know, a couple of years old, sort of, maybe a Dell even, I can't remember, or Compaq, yeah. HP. But just as we were about to head to the checkout, I saw that they had one of their little, you know, we built it ourselves boxes on special.
Yeah.
It was like $450, including GST. Yeah. And it was, you know, brand new computer, 500 gig hard drive, which isn't much, but certainly more than she needs.
It's enough for a normal
4 person. Gigs of RAM.
Yeah. 4 gigs of RAM. No.
Yeah, which is nothing again.
No,
but
that's not enough.
But you know, compared to the fact she had 2 in her last computer and has been running it for 6 years and thought it was fine, you know, whatever.
Mm.
Comes with no operating system, but I could sort that out.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, she had it for a week and it started doing weird locking up things, and we think the motherboard is faulty.
Ah, bugger.
So it's currently being looked at by PB Tech.
What do they need to look at? They'll spend more money on the time looking at it than they would swapping out the part that it's most likely to be, and they'll probably
they have to verify the error. It's
oh, come on, no, don't fuck around.
If it was just a part, we could take the part back and say this part's fucked and get another one. But having bought the built computer, you now have to give them the whole computer as a whole to do their thing with. So anyway, whatever.
Worst computer store I ever traded with was Gamma.
I never had any problems with Gamma, but
do they still exist?
Yes, they do. They're still right where they used to be.
They fucking sucked. They sucked so bad. Yeah. They sucked so bad. I interviewed for a job working at Gamma at about the time I interviewed for the job at iHug, and I'm very glad that I got the job at iHug instead.
I think you went the right way on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, those guys were dicks. I remember going in there to buy some wireless stuff back before wireless was really...
Wow.
You know, a thing. I don't even know when that would have been, but 1999 or something. So 80211B was... So the chat room is saying brutal. I hope that doesn't mean that someone in the chat room works at Gamma, because if you're in the chat room, I'm sure you're cool on my opinion of Gamma just changed if you work there. But my experience there was shocking. The guy I dealt with, who was the owner, was a fuckwit. Fuck, he was such a tool. So if you're the owner of Gamma and you're in the chat room, I'm real sorry I was just so rude to you, but maybe you should treat your customers better. You know, just an idea. So this is episode 420.
Wow.
So spark it up. Spark it up and light it up and spark it up. I probably should have got some kind of bubbling bong sound effect.
I don't really get the whole 420 thing. Where's that stem from?
It comes from 420 after school. Smoke it up.
Is that just the time thing?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Smoke it up and spark it up. 420. It up. There we go.
Good work. You just happen to have a bong sound effect around, or you just took a hit from your bong? What?
This show's gonna go great.
Yeah, see, that makes more sense. Someone says it's police code. That I believe that more likely.
Yeah. Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Let's see. Wikipedia. 420 Wikipedia. Anyway, it's not even really 420. I mean, 420 probably should be 420.
Apparently 420 PM.
But
there you go.
But this is season 4, episode 20, and so this is as close as we're ever going to get to 420, because we're not making 420 episodes of the show, are we?
I certainly hope not.
We might, but I hope not as well. Unless we should have we start to do using by then, a lot right? of drugs. Well, I mean, we might.
Morgan, you won. It is to do with the time.
Yeah. Whoa, you mean I know something about drugs? How strange.
More like cannabis culture than us.
Well, I never. I've never exhaled, though.
No, of course.
If you can't do it drunk, you can't do it. And on 420 day, that I guess... We can't really celebrate 420 by ourselves. We probably should have done something in April when everyone else was celebrating 420, but, you know, whatever.
Don't we do it on the 1st of May, though, for J-Day? J-Day, isn't that?
Yeah, 420 is very American.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, for a start, that's month in day. That's just, you know, it's a retarded way of doing things.
Yeah. And actually, 420 doesn't really mean anything to me because I, you know, not even kind of joking for deniability purposes, I don't do any drugs. Not anymore, you know. Not that I ever did. I never have, Your Honor. Just innocent, legal, over the edge of whatever booze-aholics.
Yeah, I don't believe you, but that's fine. I believe you don't do them now. I don't believe you didn't do them because, you know.
So before I forget, let me find the...
Let's open up the toot bag.
Let's open up the toot bag. So there's
it's an early toot bag?
It is an early toot bag. This is from 8:24 tonight. From Heliopathic on Twitter. Why am I listening to the discourse dickheads Googling themselves?
When did we Google ourselves?
I don't remember doing it, but apparently I'm sure we must have to see what was on each page. Googled ourselves. Right?
Fuck, was that even in the show? I thought that was just rambling afterwards. Did you put the rambling afterwards in the show?
I often put the rambling afterwards.
Why do you do that to people?
Just because.
They don't deserve that.
Everything after ha 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 is what I consider kind of the overflow.
And fair game.
It's not really in the show, even though it's in the show, obviously.
It's not. All right, really then, so be it.
It is and it isn't. Yeah.
Should we talk about local happenings?
Well, we could, but first I'd actually like to talk about Douglas Engelbart.
Oh, yeah. Okay, he's the singer, right?
That's... Yes. Engelbart and Humperdongle.
I am hilarious.
Yeah, so funny. I feel like my tongue is swelling up, so I'm really worried about this Milo and Bailey's thing.
I think that's just... That's just the alcohol.
It's possible that this is going to be one of those shows that goes off the rails.
Yeah, I'm
like not every show goes off the rails, but some do. Most probably do, but I feel like this one might. So the first time I ever heard of Douglas Engelbart was in the context of the same place everyone else has heard of him, and that is from the mother of all presentations, I think is what it was called.
I'm still looking through the like 6 million tabs you sent me to try and find the right one. Oh, found it.
The mother of all demos, in which he presented for the first time the computer mouse. He spoke about networking. He spoke about just amazingly everything in one demo in the 1960s. And he spoke about going online and used the term online. It's just absolutely... he presented like hypertext in the 1960s in this one demo. They had like cathode ray tubes with a display on them. And, you know, at that point it was more common. And for years afterwards, right through the 70s, it was more common for a computer's output to be through a printer.
Yeah, or punch cards.
Punch cards are input.
Oh, that's true. Well, no, that could also be output. They were output.
You could have ticker tape for
ticker tape. And I'm pretty sure that anyway, whatever, doesn't matter. Technology, old.
So this guy was involved. He collaborated with, if he didn't invent all this stuff himself, he certainly collaborated with people who basically invented pretty much all at once a whole lot of stuff that we take for granted now. And it was just, you know, this one small group of people. And he showed it all off in one day. It was he was involved in so many changes of so many games. In the last few days, he died, aged, I think, 88. Yeah. Blew everyone's minds. I guess this is to you, Mr. Engelbart.
It seems like such an obvious invention now, and you think someone had to come up with it.
Well,
would they have? Mm. Had he not, would someone else have come up with the same thing after a while?
A mouse?
We have had another way of interfacing with
15 minutes.
Computers?
Do you mean a mouse?
Well, there was light pens for a while. Yeah. Would that have been...
Light pens, no, are terrible.
Yeah, but if someone hadn't come up with the mouse, like if he hadn't invented the mouse, taken that concept of a wheel with encoders,
yeah.
If he hadn't come up with that, would we have found... Would someone else have come up with the same concept of user interface, or would they have continued along the lines of things like light pens and I don't know what else?
Well, it seems implausible that we would go from keyboard to touch or keyboard to hologram, and there kind of has to be some kind of... I mean, that a lot of the interface changes were very evolutionary, you know, going from text to pictures.
Oh, that wasn't.
Pictures,
I mean, mouse was
GUIs.
Not evolutionary. The mouse was...
No, but in terms of the interface on the computer, right?
Oh, I know,
so what you were seeing and how you were to interact with it, the idea that you would use cursors on your keyboard to move around in a text document, that works all right until you want to go, you know, further.
So then if we hadn't had a mouse and a good way of interfacing that way, would we have come up with the GUIs that followed?
Mm. Well, that's exactly right. Would we have? I mean, I don't remember needing a mouse terribly much on a BBS. As long as you have a text screen, you know, it's only 80 columns wide. It's only, I don't even remember how high.
24, 20, 25, 20
something.
Like
20 something high. It doesn't take a long time to get that far with cursor keys. But, you know, it's all very unsophisticated. I think that the graphical interface was inevitable once the computer came along at all. I think it had to happen. Just because, you know, what people want to do will continue to evolve and advance, and, you know, changes. I mean, progress is inevitable, I think, with computer stuff. With nerds, a bunch of curious nerds trying to figure out if they can do something. They don't even necessarily think about whether they should. Unfortunately.
And then I wonder if we'll get past the mouse. Right, so we have touch and we have the whatever that weird floaty hand thing is.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I have no particular desire to touch my computer. Smartphone, certainly.
Yeah, that's right. There are problems with touch. One is that you can't see what you're actually touching.
Yeah.
Right? So there's a lack of precision. I think that touch is really great for consumption devices, not necessarily great for creation production. It's not really great for typing on. You know, some people say that they can type pretty fast on like an iPad, or, you know, people with really friggin' thumbs you can't even see moving because they're such a blur, even on an iPhone or an Android. But those people, I think, are freaks, and even those people would probably be much faster with a real keyboard. You know, you use the right tool for the job. If you don't want to create anything, then all you need is a screen.
So it's safe to say he had a fairly big impact on computing.
He had a huge impact.
And now he's dead.
And now he has died. Yep, and now he has died, because that is the only thing that we are sure will always happen. You're not guaranteed to ever be alive, but you're definitely guaranteed to die if you are ever alive. Unfortunately, and it seems like there might be a hard limit on that as well. 120.
You reckon?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. So now some people have much shorter lives than others. For instance, David Shearer.
So rumour as we record this is that there is a leadership coup in progress within the Labour caucus.
Yeah.
So by the time you hear this, if you're not listening to it live, it may have already all unravelled. And once again, Labour becomes more fucking useless.
Yeah, so Duncan...
They're just unelectable.
Duncan Garner says, good source, coup on in Labour, letter of no confidence being circulated, it's over for Shearer, watch for his resignation. And this is immediately after... there was a bit of a U-turn on, I don't even want to use the phrase, but the so-called man ban plan.
So the gender...
It was about having quotas for...
Yeah, the gender quota, essentially.
In the Labour Party for candidate selection, there was going to be a target...
Candidate selection and list placement.
Yeah. So the proportion of women in the caucus... they wanted to make it 45% by next year.
At least.
And they wanted to make it 50% plus minimum by 2017. And I actually found that wording quite offensive, because that made it clear that there was, by their own rules, their own internal rules, there would be female dominance. And I mean, I feel like, you know, if there is a natural higher number of women in caucus, or even, you know, even just MPs just in the House, that's cool. It should be that way sometimes. There is nothing natural about Parliament having been so dominated by men forever, forever and ever, since we've had it. It's been dominated by men. And that is awful. But there are no parties that would say that there should be a minimum of 50% men. So just like I think there should be no parties that say that should be a minimum of 50% women. Just, I mean, there should always be a target for equal, and there should never be any side dominant over the other. That's what I think. But the idea that they could have, you know, a ban on having any male candidates in some elections means that there could be someone who was an absolute star performer, and they wouldn't get to stand because of the tackle that they had on their undercarriage. Right?
And sure, I mean, that shouldn't work either way. And I think solving a problem like that through what is essentially brute force doesn't fix the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually, if you look at segregation, I suppose, if you look at that, you know, solving it through brute force eventually did create acceptance.
Yeah.
But still, is it the right solution?
Yeah.
My problem with it is, yeah, well, it's that essentially. It's that you're not really solving the core problem. If the issue is that women aren't choosing to stand, then why? You know, if they're not choosing to because that's there's right. a culture that they don't want to be part of, then you need to fix the culture. Just forcing them in there is not going to fix the culture. If they're not standing because they don't feel electable, then forcing them to stand is not going to make them electable. It's just going to lose you as a party more seats.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I mean, great principled stand and all, but maybe not a great idea.
That's a really good point. You know, you can say very simplistically, the problem is that not enough women are in the House. Okay, and that is true.
Yeah, so the solution is put more in the House, but the
real problem might be, you know, selection. You know, it might be what is the environment like once you're elected, or what is the perception of the environment. So the real solution might not be, say, that, you know, you can only be selected if you're female. The real solution might be fix the problems in the House. You know, make it desirable for women to stand. You know, women can be pretty bloody good politicians, as we've seen. You know, the best politician in New Zealand, in my living memory, happened to be a woman, and the leader of a party, and the first elected Prime Minister of New Zealand. And, you know, I don't think many
female
people...
Prime Minister. She wasn't the first elected Prime Minister, I think.
You're absolutely right. I probably...
Before her.
I blame the Milo Baileys.
I understand.
I missed one word. Give me a break. I'm only a boy. If I was a girl, I wouldn't have made that mistake. I think that on average, women are better than men, on average. Okay, no shit. I think on average, women are smarter than men, on average. Now, you know, on the outliers, I mean, I'm smarter than most people and most women, just because I'm unusually smart, just like you are also unusually smart. And you know, some women are stupid, okay? Sure, but in the middle, in the average bit, in the middle there, I think women, on the whole, smarter, probably better, more capable, more organized, all kinds of different character traits, which some people might accuse me of sexism for pointing out.
Absolutely. But
and they get paid less than men. For what? Why? It's stupid.
If you look at women in Parliament, though, I mean, for a long time they weren't able to stand, and then they have been able to stand. And then I'm not completely sure, because I haven't bothered to look, but I'm fairly sure if we look at trends that they've been being better and better represented all the time.
Yeah.
And clearly it will change, just as, you know, everything else has.
And this kind of awful fuck up from the Labour Party, where, you know, they do this stupid, possibly patronising, you know, possible stupid paternal white knight bullshit, where they're like, oh, we know how to fix things for women. And they put their masculine heads together and they come up with the solution. you know, that might actually help, you know, because it might just make it more of a visible problem to people. You know, yep. when you drive around, it's not the same now so much, but, you know, in the 90s, if you drive around election time, you know, virtually every single national party electioneering, what are they called? Hoarding?
Hoarding, yep.
That was Bilby. All old white-haired men.
Yeah, yeah. And
well, and parties. If not white-haired, they were white. That's for and fucking sure.
Both major
sure.
parties have been becoming more representative.
Yeah. And part of that, I think, is MMP. That's yep. part of it. You know, proportional representation. It's pretty
part of
freaking
it is also
great
just,
stuff.
Old fogies dying off and retiring.
Yeah. And that's also part of the reason why the gays can now marry. What day can they start marrying? Is it August? August
it's
the something?
August something.
I'm almost... you're already married. I'm almost tempted to get gay married just because I can. Even though I don't happen to be gay.
You really should talk to Selena about this.
She wouldn't. She probably...
Don't just spring it on her. Don't just say, hey, Sel, meet Steve. He's my husband.
he's our husband.
Remember, it's Adam and Eve, not Morgan and Steve.
I bet that there are heaps of married couples called Morgan and Steve, and by heaps probably...
Morgan's a girl's name.
Morgan, Steve, happily married. Morgan, Steve, wedding. I don't know if this Google is going to work. Past and present with Steve and Morgan. Steve and Morgan's wedding. Awesome. Yes, I'm right, Googling right. essentially my own name again. Yep. Awesome. Okay, there's a bikini photo here as well. They both look like they wear too much makeup. Here, I'll give it to the chat room, but then I probably should stop talking about it because we got in a lot of trouble just now. Let's not forget that.
Let's open up the toot.
Why am I listening to the discourse, dickheads? Googling themselves. Well, I didn't really just do that again. I didn't really. I think that the reason you were listening to that
too,
is,
I won't talk about
is that, well, number one, overflow. Number two, totally got complacent with the show. It's so easy to do it in the format that we're currently doing it in.
Anyway, whatevs. So that's all done. Labour's is Labour. I reckon Labour is still unelectable for the next election, unless National comes out with their puppy killing policy or something.
Well, the chat room said somewhere. I thought Pick seems to be Cunliffe.
Yeah, well, maybe he can turn it around, but I don't know. National just is such an uninspiring party, full of such something, something, something.
And that's from I Predict, isn't it, that it's likely to be Cunliffe. The probability that it's Cunliffe is 48.3% and that it would be Grant Robertson, 35.4%. Andrew Little, 8.8%.
Oh, Andrew Little, God, imagine that.
Jacinda Ardern, all the way down at 1.9%. She is really good.
I'd frankly like to see some parties led by some younger, more... At least Jacinda Ardern feels a bit more pragmatic.
Yeah.
You know, mind you, she's, in some respects, she's not, I don't know, I think Claire Curran, actually, who's written some ridiculous things on her website.
Phil Goff to be next Labour Party leader, 0.1%.
Oh, fingers crossed, Phil.
Shane Jones.
Mind you, 0.1%, there's some money to be made on that if you just happen to luck out.
The highest buy was $0.0010. So not many people are buying into that one.
On him.
I don't think you'd make a hell of a lot of money on that one, frankly. I don't think you would.
All right.
So I hope it's Cunliffe. Even though I think we've probably spoken about this before, I don't know what the reason is that a lot of people hate him, and it might be a good reason. All I know is what I've seen in the media and what happened when he, quote, debated Shearer before Shearer was elected. And Cunliffe wiped the floor with Shearer every time.
He might be a horrible, horrible person.
He might. And you know, they say silent tea, right?
Mind you, it's great because that is fun. Yeah. Mind you, you know who's a horrible person?
Who?
John Key.
John Key is a horrible, awful buffoon. He's a douche.
We didn't get a chance to talk about the whole GCSB bill select committee last time, did we? Because
it hadn't happened
after
yet.
We recorded.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh my god!
Now, okay, so let's just get kind of back to the beginning. So, GCSB broke the law and they were caught. So the response, apparently, is to change the law so that the illegal thing they did will no longer be illegal. So that apparently was the response. Brilliant. Nice one, government. Thanks a lot for looking out for our interests.
Like, looking at that point, in a broader perspective, I don't have a huge problem with what they propose, and that the GCSB can essentially be outsourced to other departments for the purposes that the GCSB is good at. And this is the issues that aren't addressed well by the legislation, as long as that there is proper oversight when the GCSB is doing those things, they're acting with all the restrictions and requirements that the government department they're working for is, you know, or the, you know, police or SIS or military for some reason is restricted by. So if, in that circumstance, and very good point that was made by a number of submitters, was that whatever information they gain under those operations can't be mixed with the information and intelligence they gather in their GCSB role.
Yeah.
So essentially, the police asking the GCSB to intercept communications for a domestic related crime thing with an appropriate warrant doesn't end up in the GCSB's database, and therefore in the Five Eyes network that exists to some extent.
Yeah.
Those are very good points, and if were they well addressed, I don't think I'd have a huge issue with what they propose about the GCSB. But they're not.
Yeah.
People come up to make these points. Very intelligent people like Thomas Beagle.
Yeah.
Who knows this stuff well and makes very good points. And the Prime Minister's response to his points seems to be to dismiss the fact that he isn't calling outright for the removal of the existence of the GCSB.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's that false dichotomy that is set up where if you're not supporting what I'm proposing, then you must...
You must be supporting terrorists, essentially.
Exactly, and that was...
If you don't support me, you support terrorism.
Yeah, it was essentially, Mr. Beagle, what should I tell the victims, what should I tell the families of victims of some possible terrorist attack?
Yeah.
It's like, well, that's not really the point. The only, you know, first of all, there's no suggestion that, A, there is a terrorist threat, but if there is, and we will just take you at your word and assume there is, there's also no suggestion that the GCSB would necessarily be able to stop it.
Yeah.
And in this,
I mean, his example was the Boston bombing.
Yeah.
Which wasn't FBI stopped.
And NSA and CIA and Department of Homeland Security and a million other intelligence agencies couldn't stop.
Yeah. And we know now that the NSA was surveilling everyone and they didn't catch it.
Well, no, we don't know that.
We do know that.
We don't know that.
Oh, come on.
No. There's no evidence of that. It's ridiculous.
Acting.
Oh, God, it just annoys me. Fucking Snowden. But yes, like they couldn't stop it.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know what the Prime Minister is proposing. Like, if you actually have reason to believe that an attack like that is imminent, then you probably have various legal reasons to spy on people.
We also have a police force and SIS. And so we don't necessarily need the GCSB to be doing that particular job, you know.
And maybe the SIS can employ the GCSB to do it, and they can do it under the SIS mandate, and with, you know, as we discussed, that they can limit their...
Well, maybe and maybe not. I don't know that it's necessarily appropriate for the GCSB to even be doing that job. The GCSB should be securing the government's communications, not necessarily eavesdropping on other people. It could be that the SIS should be the only people who are doing that eavesdropping.
Or maybe.
And perhaps the police should be outsourcing to the SIS.
The more broad point is that the duplication of those resources is perhaps not practical, or maybe even not possible. It might not be enough... appropriately skilled people readily available to work in that field, for example.
Yeah.
So maybe they have to pull resources, but if they do, then those, you know, roles need to be really clearly defined and managed.
Yeah.
So that whoever is doing whatever for whomever keeps their shit where it should be.
I think it's quite a good idea for a government to not treat the world as its sandpit or plaything in such a way that people want to commit acts of terrorism. And given that I don't think New Zealand does that. I don't think our government does that. I don't think there's any perception internationally that we do that. I don't know that we're at much risk of any of these sort of horrible acts of terrorism we've seen.
Part of the argument internationally was the GCSB might be involved in potentially stopping a terrorist attack in Australia, where perhaps it's more likely. But still,
so why are we paying for that?
Well, and even if
shouldn't the Australians be doing that?
Eh?
Shouldn't the Australians be doing that?
Well, no, because the Australians can't spy on Australians. You see, we can spy on Australians.
I don't think we should be spying on Australians.
But even if we are, there's still no suggestion that they need more powers to be able to do that.
Given
that is essentially their mandate. If things are working as they should and they have the information to, like, they can't just go fishing.
Given the prevalence of terrorist attacks in New Zealand, I'm not sure that we need any kind of oversight. We don't need any spying on New Zealanders. You know, even if we had the occasional Boston bombing, I'm not sure that it would be worth doing that kind of spooking.
But anyway,
because
not that many
people are hurt in those kinds of things.
Regardless of the need or not need deal. Or even the legislative changes that should be made, the point I've made about John Key in the past and the biggest issue I have with him is his obvious condescension and arrogance.
Yeah.
And it was on display more prominently in those hearings than I've ever witnessed before.
Yeah,
it was horrific. It was like he was treating these people like they were children. He was condescending to them. He was incredibly arrogant.
Yeah.
It was so frustrating to watch. And it was, you know, and this is the Prime Minister, the fucking Prime Minister.
Yeah.
Who's, you know, makes it appear that doesn't give a shit about what anyone's saying, may as well be somewhere else. Like, that's, you know, at least hide your contempt.
Yeah.
Imagine
if that party actually had a majority in Parliament.
What did he say? There was the other thing, which was that was right. Someone he queried, who was it? It was another? Was it Coz? Was it Michael Kaczowski? I'm not sure. He said, you know, wouldn't you want to know if the 14-year-old next door was looking at bomb making instructions on the internet?
When's the last time 14-year-olds making bombs was a problem in New Zealand?
Well, the alarming thing about that was, A, that requires some sort of,
internet filter.
To know that your 14-year-old was doing that requires some sort of surveillance of everyone. B, looking at something isn't evidence of intent.
Yep.
So now you're just making people guilty by it's thought crimes.
It's evidence of curiosity. It's
evidence of curiosity. You have no reason, no way of knowing.
Yeah.
But anyway, and then there was Kim.com, which frankly was unimpressive. Although
Kim.com was preaching, he was lecturing, he wasn't presenting.
Oh, yeah, it was a sideshow. The advantage was, I suppose, it got some coverage for the other submitters, but not so much. Although he apparently did get his time cut. They promised him 25 minutes, and when he got there, they said he had 15 or something.
They promised a lot of people 25 minutes, and they told them in advance that they'd been cut to 15 minutes. Several of the other presenters that we watched on the stream had the exact same thing happen. They still managed to present and get through questions.
Oh, and there was the crazy
Kim.com was talking so fucking slowly. He should have paid attention to the goddamn rules. What a doofus!
And there was the crazy people.
Now the crazy people. This is a couple. I don't remember what their names were.
I can't remember.
They're now husband and wife, but they haven't been for the whole time of the story that they told. So they were nuclear disarmament. They were nuclear disarmament protesters in the 1980s, and I guess they're still peace protesters.
Saying crazy people is unfair. They may not be crazy. But,
I didn't say crazy. You said crazy.
I said crazy. Their submission was.
It had all the hallmarks of paranoid conspiracy theorists. So they were talking about all of their mail having been opened and, you know, dodgy stuff happening on their phone lines and so
calls
on.
Calls not being able to be made.
And that having happened since the 1980s, with like every letter that they get has been sliced open and they said obviously opened. And, you know, it might be true.
It might be. And it was weird, and it was
out of place.
My frustration with it was, it then, you know, you look at them and you go, those people are crazy conspiracy theorists. And then it kind of harms, in my opinion, the credibility of others who are presenting against the same thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that was, I just, the Prime Minister's contempt on and arrogance, and it was just I don't, you know, I could not completely hate a national government. Like, isn't, you know, they're not, and for the most part, they're not that bad. There's things I disagree with, but I don't think they're, end of the world stuff. But God, I just, John Key, his personality, I just absolutely.
That's interesting that you say not the end of the world, because that kind of crony capitalism where you leverage and exploit everything, including your natural environment, it kind of is the end of the world, Dylan.
Yeah, fair enough.
It kind of is.
Yep.
You know, turning everything to a profit, including our national parks, you know, our most pristine and beloved and valuable land in our country, and, you know, some of it in the world. And, you know, turning it over to see what's underneath, you know, just to see if there's anything that glitters under there that you can sell off for cheap.
Yeah, granted, that's not,
you know, destroying our waterways and, you know, and changing laws so that our waterways can be destroyed.
Yeah, still John Key's personality is what I find most offensive about the National Party.
That's right, because it's not like he is charming and convincing people anymore to let him get away with destroying things. It's because he is charmless.
I'm more horrified that people find that approachable and relatable.
Yeah, it's bizarre. It's absolutely bizarre. Now, I guess once upon a time, people thought he was charming. I think that anyone who still thinks he's charming isn't paying any attention. He's glib. Glib non sequiturs. It's just basically that's all you get out of him.
Yeah.
Seems very hard to get him to front up to any serious questioning. He just walks away from the media when they do that.
It's that, and I find I have that whole problem. I have that problem with actually both major parties, and you know, in that they seem unwilling to behave like adults.
Yeah,
a lot of the time they're quite happy to make witty one-liners at each other and to disparage the other's policy in, you know, grandiose terms, but to actually try and get them to behave like grown-ups and talk properly seems to be impossible.
Yeah, straight answers.
Straight answers and just grown-up behavior. If people in workplaces behaved the way MPs behave in Parliament, they would be fired.
Yeah.
Just unquestionably, they would be fired.
Chris Hipkins on Twitter retweeted, I don't follow him, but retweeted to me by Jacinda Ardern, to Ghana, "Your source is full of crap, no letter, no leadership challenge, stop making things up." But here's the thing, Chris Hipkins is deeply in the pro-Shearer anyone but Cunliffe camp, and so is Jacinda Ardern. So, I mean, I don't know that I trust anything that little backstabbing prick says.
They all seem like fuck tools if in a day or two it turns out that they were wrong.
Yeah. The thing is that they'll be in trouble both ways. I don't see much prospect of there not being a leadership challenge before the next election now.
One would hope so.
So it's going to happen. And what are the chances that it's still going to be Shearer if that happens? Chances are good it'll be Cunliffe. And, you know, hopefully he won't. He'll mend some of the...
Yeah, but maybe it'll be John Howard.
I mean, I don't see it.
No, right.
Maybe if it was the Greens, they'd have another Australian. Fuck, that
gets... Did he get his flag back?
Gets on my tits, that. I don't know. I don't know if he got his flag back. It was a Tibet flag or something, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah, I mean, they never should have snatched that flag off him. That was Chinese security guys, right? Not understanding you can't behave like that in another country, especially when it turns out the person you just... did they assault him? Well, they snatched shit off him. You can't do that with actual politicians in another country, even if you are the big dog on the block now. Yeah. China's a little bit of a worry, let's be honest about that. But as long as they keep buying our dairy, we'll keep fucking our waterways up for them. Hooray! So do we want to talk about this Korean... what are they? Asiana? Is that what the airline is called?
This
San Francisco crash?
Not really.
No?
You know, we. I don't know.
Oh, if we're talking about politics, we should talk about the Pakeha Party.
Good, because we don't know fuck all about airplanes. And it's hard to judge
exactly. So there's like two people have been confirmed dead.
Yeah. One of them may have been hit by a rescue vehicle.
One of them may have been run over and killed that way. That is appalling. Yeah. So the Pakeha party is basically for racists.
Well, no one knows what it is because it's not a real party and it's just some dudes who don't know what the fuck they want. And threw a spaz when the questions they got asked on the radio were a bit rougher than what they expected.
Well, they better get used to it. And they couldn't handle it, and they will never get elected, and they will never amount to anything. That's my prediction. I'll put that on iPredict.
Yeah, I think that's probably already on iPredict.
Other things that will never amount to anything?
Yeah, what about the civilian party, though?
Well, I mean, it's just another joke, right? I mean, it's McGillicuddy serious again.
Actual donations. It will be a registered political party.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean it's not a joke. It's McGillicuddy serious.
Yeah, it's McGillicuddy serious. Well, who the hell knows? Maybe not. Maybe they, you know, I'm not sure what the hell would happen if they got an MP.
Let's not forget what happened with Bill and Ben. Fuck, it's lucky they weren't elected, I tell you what. That suppression would have been a whole different kettle of fish.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm not talking about anything.
Good.
I said nothing.
Moving on.
David Bain did it. When did P Money last release a single? So this guy, Paul Mathis, he's an Australian, and he decided that there are too many letters in the word the.
And, yeah, it is so hard to type.
And so he spent $75,000 of his money on inventing a character, a single character, that looks like a T with a lowercase H. H is kind of right descender attached to it with a ligature. It's a character that's actually been borrowed from Czechoslovakian or something. It's a pre-existing character. But here's the thing. The word he's looking for, it's a letter, actually, an old letter from the English language called the thorn. And this is where we get a word that people would pronounce ye, like ye old shop. And,
right.
And that word,
okay, so
that word the, ye is pronounced the, because that y on ye is actually a thorn. It's not a y. And that's a th sound. So it wouldn't fully replace the word the, but it would pretty quickly be taken to replace it, just like, you know, an ampersand is taken as an and at is taken as an at. And a hash is taken as a hash. And a dollar is taken as a dollar.
Either way, he's an idiot.
We could very easily bring back the thorn if we wanted to, but we don't want to. We went the other direction. We had
it. You know why we couldn't easily
got
bring
rid of
back
it.
Any of these things?
Keyboard.
Yes, because we don't fucking handwrite things. We type them on a keyboard, and who's going to figure out where to put another key on the keyboard?
Well, I mean, a thorn would be something like a... I mean, on a desktop keyboard, it'd be a harder problem to solve, but on a tablet, it'd just be like a long press on a Y, and it'd pop up like Ys with macrons
and so on. It's a new encoding. Where does that, you know, now it has to be a Unicode character.
It already is. Thorn already is. And this the symbol already is as well. It's no doubt it's in Unicode.
It's from Serbian Cyrillic.
Right. So it's already in Unicode. But the thing is that there is no demand for it.
No, because we can type those two letters or three letters.
And this guy who has spent $75,000 on it, congratulations, mate. Good for you in keeping your local designers in noodles or whatever it is designers eat.
Noodles, definitely noodles. Wow, anyway.
They eat probably Korean tacos, probably something like that.
What are Korean tacos?
Tacos, but made with Korean spices and
yum.
And treatments inside. They are a thing. They are a thing.
Good to know.
Speaking of Korean tacos.
No, don't do that.
Teacher stole lunches from young pupils.
There you go.
Why, what did you expect?
I don't know. I thought maybe you were going to go to that TV3 story.
That TV3 story.
Yeah, anyway, moving on. Teacher stole lunches.
Oh!
Quite the euphemism.
That's very clever. No, you'll have to do that next. Teacher stole lunches from young pupils. A teacher at a childcare centre has been censured after she was caught on camera stealing food from the lunchboxes of her pupils.
Why?
Hungry, I guess. The school has not been named. The teacher admitted in a meeting with the acting principal that he had lost the plot. Oh, this is I've lost my interest in the story now. I think that's probably that might even be a different thing. So, so Korean tacos, Dylan. Next story: Korean tacos.
Transgender inmates at risk, say the Greens.
How does that connect?
It doesn't. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
The Green Party are calling for urgent action to protect transgender prisoners. And it's probably necessary. Transgender people are at terrible risk of depression and suicide, even on the outside. Transgender people tend to earn basically less than any other kind of class of people. You know, women have, you know, proportionally less earning power generally than men, and I think transgender people a step further. Like, it goes, you know, like gay male couples, men, women, lesbian couples, and like way further down than like Pacific and factory workers, and you know, it goes all the way down into basically to transgender people. They have terrible problems getting employment and so on. And I think the experience of the transition is pretty tough, and they tend to have pretty hard, bloody lives. And so if, you know, a transgender person is a criminal and goes to jail, they probably do need to be protected. You know, now New Zealand prisons are not associated with rape at the level that US prisons are. I from what I understand, it doesn't really happen here, but it has started to have a little more prevalence than it has previously, probably because of media reports of the US experience. I know Greg Newbold, probably New Zealand's most famous criminologist, he said a few years ago that it just isn't really a thing. It's not really a thing here. But imagine being in jail with a bunch of men and having a vagina.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's one of those situations where there's a system created without flexibility, and it needs to have the ability to make individual assessments.
Yeah.
And that's all it needs. It doesn't even need to be specifically for transgender people. It just needs to have flexibility to recognize
if you're at risk.
Very unique individual circumstances.
Yeah. Anyone is at risk and needs to be protected. I mean, we don't just put people in prison.
Yeah.
Well, so that not, they can be beaten up and shivved like and raped.
Some safer environment, whatever that need be.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yep. Seems like a risky scenario, and there should be ways of addressing it in a sensible approach.
I have not prepared my story order very well.
Next story.
China's new millionaires on a breast milk binge.
So, Alicia Silverstone, are we interested in this?
Well, maybe, except that apparently essentially these wet nurses are being paid $2,000 to $4,000 to allow rich people to nurse from their breasts or pump.
$2,000 to $4,000 for what period of time?
I'm not sure. Mm. Or to pump milk for later consumption.
And this is in Shenzhen.
I hope this isn't a real story or true, but, you know, there it is. It's down there on black and white on a page, or I could even change
the colours. Well, it's in China. It's reported by the Times of India and quoted on Boing Boing. So
I mean, what are the odds that it's legit? Not correct? I'm sure it's probably entirely
next
accurate.
Next story.
Brazil. Now, this one is appalling.
Oh, Brazil. Home of the next Football World Cup.
Brazilian
referee. What have you
got to
tell me about Brazil?
Yeah, it's a story about football.
Oh, great. I love soccer.
Brazilian referee. It's not called soccer.
Or whatever.
It's not called soccer.
Fuck off.
No, it's really not.
Just read the story.
Look at a list.
About soccer.
Look at a list of the names of football in football names. Let's call it that. Football words for football around the world. I don't know. In different languages, maybe. That's football words. No, that's probably not what I want. Football word.
Just going to run out of time. The show's going to end and you're still going to be looking for words for soccer.
I know I won't. The word is football. In Catalan, it's football. In Czech, it's football. In Esperanto, it's footballo. In Filipino, it's football. In French, it's football. In Portuguese, it's football. In Russian, it's football. In Spanish, it's football. In Turkish, it's football. And in Serbian, it's football. And in American, it's soccer. There's only one country that calls it soccer, and we are not them. Oh, Afrikaans say soccer.
There you go.
Afrikaans and the Americans. So there you go.
If we know anything about South Africans, it's that they have fantastic taste.
Yeah. And in Iceland, it's Knattspyrna.
Oh, well, I'm going to go with the Icelandic pronunciation then.
Which means ball kicking. Probably with feet.
Regardless, tell us
Brazilian
the story about
referee
this.
Beheaded by spectators after he fatally stabs player.
Well, that's all we need to know about this. And it wasn't just beheaded, let's be fair.
They also quartered him.
And his head was put on a stake.
I think he deserved it. He stabbed a player. They only cut his head off when it turned out the player had died. But he stabbed a player and murdered him. So, I mean, I don't know about the quartering, but I'm not sure that it's entirely inappropriate that he had
now, the police,
some serious...
To be fair, the police have made a statement on the issue and saying that it is not consistent with law.
Yeah, I mean, outside the Dark Ages, obviously, it's not consistent with the law. Of course not. Of course not. But it's football and it's Brazil. So, I mean, naturally, passions were high. And I think, I mean, if someone... Dylan, let's put it this way. You and I are playing a game... Of soccer. Of Knattspyrna.
Yep.
And someone stabs you.
Oh my God, I want to do a Bjork impression now, but I just don't think I can. Anyway.
The name is Bjork.
Okay.
Not Bjork. It's Bjork. Just like Bjorn is actually Bjorn.
Okay, good.
If someone stabbed you to death, do you want me to just say that was very naughty to them? Because what I would probably do is fucking kill them.
You know, I'd rather, to be honest, yes. I think I'd rather you didn't kill them because it would get you in a lot of trouble and I wouldn't want that. What I would like you to do is to disarm them.
You want me to bide my time?
And give them to the police and then testify at trial if necessary.
What if I have only two choices? One, I can try to administer aid to you, but this person is still waving the knife around. And if I quickly dispatch them, I can possibly come and return to your aid and save your life. In that case, is it all right with you if I murder them?
I wish you luck in court.
In that case, is it all right if I murder them? If that is the only chance you have of surviving?
If they were still waving the knife around, I suppose you'd probably be dispatching them in your own self-defense.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that there was self-defense involved in this incident.
No, I don't think the huge crowd was afraid that they were all going to get stabbed. No, I think you're probably correct about that. Man avoids jail after secretly filming changing girl.
What was she changing into?
Clothes from other clothes. She's 10 years old. She's not changing into a woman.
So what did he do? Is this camera in a shoe?
His name is Snook. He's a Snook. Richard John Snook. Age 42. Appeared Dick for Snook. Sentencing today. At Napier District Court, he previously pleaded guilty to four charges of making an intimate visual recording and one charge of breaching his release conditions. The court heard today that Snook purchased a video camera from a pawnbroker on January 31 before going to Marine Parade in Napier, where he began to secretly film a young girl aged about 10. The girl was with a young boy and both were getting changed into clothes next to a fountain. Snook then zoomed in on the young girl, who was naked from the waist down.
Well, that was rather fortuitous for him, but obviously it didn't work out very well.
Didn't work out very well. He is a creep, and I hope that he had not done things to children. I hope that he was early in his progression of child abuse, because I think that these people with these...
Now, to be fair, he then proceeded to walk around in Napier with a backpack, with a camera in his backpack, and shoot up women's skirts and dresses. So it doesn't sound like he's... especially kiddie pervy, just that he's generally pervy.
And doesn't distinguish between adult women and children.
Yeah, just a... Just
you think
a
that's
dirty,
all right?
A dirty perv with... Well, no, I don't think it's all right. I just don't think he's necessarily a pedophile, specifically or exclusively. I'm sure if there were other things, they would have found evidence of such, and that would be...
Well, that was just the footage that was in that camera. I mean, who knows what else he's gone through and destroyed during...
Yeah, they did look at computers pretty closely who knows at what. That point.
So we could have... The show's just about done. We've got about 48 seconds.
Only got about 900 stories left to talk about.
We can talk about the copyright parallel importing of films amendment bill.
Okay, so very briefly, there's currently a law where no one can import DVDs for sale into this country until 9 months have passed after the first availability of
more importantly, Dylan, right now it's the fifth anniversary of the App Store, and if you have an iOS device, you should go and get some of the many, many, many free apps, including Tractor DJ, which is a $20 app currently free.
Five.
I love DJ stuff.
Yep. And four. And you also have an iPad, so you should bloody well get that.
Three.
There's a link to that on Verge.
Two.
In the show notes.
All right, sounds exciting.
All sorts of stuff. Right. Actually, there's a couple more stories. Maybe we'll do a few minutes after the things. I don't know.
I do as well.
The weekly show on with course.
All right, we're using that one.
Ah, this is a dangerous drink because it doesn't really taste like alcohol, but it has quite a lot in it.
So anyway, just briefly back to the thing about the what's-its with the parallel
copyright
importing.
Parallel importing films minimal.
The Copyright Act currently has a provision that stops the parallel importation of DVDs, films, but DVDs specifically, for a period of 9 months after the film's initial overseas cinematic release, I believe.
Mm.
The argument being that, certainly when this was introduced 5 years ago, in fact, maybe even earlier than that. I think it's been extended before that. The argument being that it would give cinemas here an opportunity to exhibit the film before facing competition from imported DVDs.
Why do cinemas get special protection?
Well, that is a very good question. Why do cinemas, A, deserve protection and need this? Anyway, the argument is to do this. And it's been referred to Select Committee.
Yeah,
where I guess you could make a submission on such. Interestingly enough, I read some of the.
It expires on October 31, 2013. Yeah,
I read some of the regulatory impact statements by the Ministry of Business and Economic MBIE, Ministry of Business
MOBI,
whatever they're called.
Yeah,
And they actually initially recommended it not be renewed.
Yeah,
and they said there simply wasn't enough. Wasn't enough reason for doing so.
Well, God, I hope that Olympus Has Fallen has this kind of protection.
Well, it's already out on DVD in the States. Is it in cinemas here yet?
I don't know.
So,
golly, it's very high quality.
Some of the arguments in favor, some of the reasons for it initially were that it used to take a while to get films here for the simple reason of the fact there was a limited number of film prints, and those film prints tended to get preference into larger markets before they came here.
Digital distribution!
Digital distribution with DCP files and hard drives and the such means that isn't really an issue anymore. We can and frequently do have films exhibiting in New Zealand either before America or at the same time as America.
What Dylan's talking about with digital distribution there is two cinemas, not two end users. We're not talking about
two
torrents.
Cinemas, yes.
We're talking about giant encrypted files which have special keys which go wrong all the time and cause small independent
exhibitors. Cinemas is also there's massive problems with DCP, but there can be.
Yeah. But it means that there is no shortage of film prints.
So you may have heard the reason that. You may have heard that the New Zealand film processing lab that Park Road Post ran has closed down recently. The main reason it closed, really, the main thing that's killing film is digital distribution. It doesn't matter if people are shooting on film or not, because that was never a big part of what film was used for in the motion picture industry. Because, you shoot however many. You shoot like a 20-to-1 ratio, which means for imagine a 2-hour film, you shoot 40 hours of footage.
Yeah.
But then you have to strike various prints of that film to be sent out for exhibition.
To thousands and thousands and thousands of cinemas around the world. Yeah.
So that was where the big film usage was, and that has been replaced by digital largely. We're already majority of cinemas in this country do digital exhibition. I think it's only a small majority. It's only like 60 or 65% at the moment. But it will become increasingly more and more because they just won't be able to get film prints.
There's no choice. Yep, there's no choice.
And so that eliminates that issue. And then the other issues were things like, deciding for New Zealand distributors deciding whether there was a decent amount of profitability in exhibiting films and theatrically in New Zealand, which is really who the fuck cares. They can choose to or not. It's up to them. We don't need to protect their decision to do so. And the other one was seasonality. Some films are released, seasonal films, but again, not very many, and if they don't want to release them when they're available, then that's up to them.
Yeah, and this the move to to digital distribution has a lot of advantages, I think, particularly for independent filmmakers. Because, I mean, with some of these really low-budget films, the cost of putting them onto film is one film, like for submission to festivals and so on, where they, you know, maybe hope to, to get
striking
purchased.
Film is
making
very
that film
expensive.
Print has cost, in some cases, much more than making the film.
No, but let's,
right?
let's
so
be
with
clear,
El
though,
Mariachi,
making a DCP is not simple. You can do it. There are open source tools to do it, but doing it well is hard, and there's really no way to verify that you've done it properly besides putting it on a drive and taking it to a cinema and playing it, and that's not cheap.
Is it actually necessary to make one of those for submission to a festival, though?
To a festival, no, but festivals have been taking tapes for a long time. Yeah. So most festivals will accept a decent quality broadcast tape master.
It's not good enough.
But it's to be, you know, to be picked up by a distributor, then you're then going to need a film. Yeah. So if you look at, what's it, Desperado, was it?
El Mariachi.
El Mariachi, that's right. Robert Rodriguez, famous shoestring budget film El Mariachi, was shot on 16mm film, but he couldn't afford to cut or print film for the final thing, so he cut it on video.
Yeah,
made a video, and that was what got bought. He took that to festivals, and that was what got picked up by a distribution company. I don't remember who it was.
Yeah.
And they then paid to have the film reconformed on film, like cut on film, and then to have master prints struck from that film, which were then distributed.
Yeah. He made a book.
He did. It's called...
I've got... I can't remember what it's called. Rebel Filmmaker or something? That's not it.
No, it's... Yeah, it's not, but it is. Yeah, it's something.
You don't even know. And he's made some shitty movies, but he's also made some cool movies. And his first movie was for no money.
Oh, no. What's the movie he's making?
$7,000. Oh. That was the Barry...
What's the movie he's making
film
now?
Energy.
The one that's I've just seen some posters for. Oh, crap. Anyway. Yeah, so he wrote a book about the making of El Mariachi. El Mariachi was remade as Desperado. Of course, but you know that.
I was thinking of Rebel Without a Crew.
Machete Kills.
And I think
I'm thinking
that's
of.
Actually Stu Mashwitz, not...
Yeah, that is Stu Mashwitz. That's,
but I read a diary for the making of the El Mariachi that Rodriguez released, and but I can't remember what that was called. Probably the El Mariachi Diaries. I don't even know. Don't even know anymore. Doesn't matter. Does anyone even care about that? Why are you talking about it so
it's
much? Why don't
Rebel
you move on?
Without a Crew.
That sounds right. Yeah. I went through a phase of buying lots of those books. Actual
Machete
books
Kills
and paper.
Machete Kills is the movie I was thinking of, and it stars...
Charlie Sheen. Sounds like a bad idea.
Does it?
Does it really, though? But does it really? So in gadget news, because, I mean, there is absolutely no question now that this is a tech podcast. I mean, no one would mistake it for that. But there's a cool device. It's amazing that anyone ever did. Why do you think they did? It was because Hollywood Ben was on the show, right?
Yeah, always talking about his Windows phones.
Garmin's, and they blue screened all the time or whatever it was. Probably,
who knows?
Probably he'd never admit that. Garmin's, but this is a device that I really like the looks of, and because I've been hearing about this kind of thing for years. Garmin's portable HUD puts your navigation on any car's windshield. So this is a heads-up display. Basically, you put this device on your dashboard and it shines an image onto your windscreen, which is then reflected sort of transparently off your windshield and into your eyes, so that your speed and, you know, maybe GPS directions and, you know, various other information is displayed sort of in your field of view when you're normally looking at the road.
There are Android apps for this.
There have been apps for this for years. I think the first one I ever saw was for the compact, the iPack.
Yeah.
I think there's one for that. I mean, and so that was about 1999 or something. So these things have been around for a long time, but this is kind of a device which is designed, you know, kind of, it's kind of purpose-built for this. And the display, I mean, if the photo on the verge is right, it's small, but it's good.
Yeah, I mean, it'll totally vary depending on the, you know, on the quality of your light scenario and surrounds and stuff. I've some American cars have HUDs built into them now for just basic speed and things.
Yeah, I've never seen it, but I really love the idea. I've never actually seen it in person in a car. But I would like to use it because it seems to me like it must be good.
Well, it's a good idea.
I mean, not looking away for silly things. It'd be great if, for instance, you know, the stereo information was displayed. Maybe it could tell you which button you were touching.
I want to put my phone. I always want to put my phone on the center of my steering wheel.
Yeah,
I think that's that seems like a not ridiculous place to put it.
Why would you put it there?
Because it's approximately in my line of sight. I just need to flick my eyes down momentarily to see it if I'm using, you know, GPS or anything on it.
No.
No. Well, that's where I want to put it.
That's too far down.
Maybe. I mean, that's, I mean, if I'm looking down to check the speedo, it's right within my line of sight then.
That sounds like a terrible idea, dude. I don't think you should be looking at that display anyway for your GPS. You should be listening to it. It should be telling you what to do.
Yeah, actually, my GPS has stopped telling me the names of streets. I should figure that out.
Mm. Dead patient woke up as surgeons prepared to remove her organs.
Well, then I dare say she probably wasn't dead. I'm not a doctor. But this is my assumption.
Well, dead. I maybe didn't pronounce the scare quotes. Dead patient woke up as surgeons. This is why I am not a donor on my driver's license. Because I'm worried that they won't do everything they can.
You know, you realize that doesn't... Apparently that basically means nothing.
Well, that may or may not be true, but I am not a donor because of my fear of this.
All right.
Because if you aren't marked down as a donor, they're definitely not going to cut you open and take your bits out. They're going to leave you in a room. And if you are going to just recover, because, I mean, this one was bizarre. This one was absolutely bizarre. She was breathing independently when they decided to do this.
Where was this?
This was in New York. This was in St. Joseph's Hospital.
Well, that is worrying.
And they were fined
a little bit better at this sort of thing.
They were fined $22,000 for almost harvesting the organs from a living patient. Doesn't sound like a good idea.
No.
But the state apparently could not find another case similar to this one in the last 10 years of records. So it doesn't happen very often. But apparently it happens. And so I am still not a donor. I will be, you know, if I ever decide to donate anything to anyone, it will be from my living body. It will be like a kidney or a part of liver or something. I don't know that anyone would want either my part of my liver or my kidneys, but if they did need it for some reason, like if it was my child and they really had no choice but to take my fat, clogged, awful organs, then, you know, they would do that from me while I was still alive, not after I'm dead. At which point, no one will want anything I've got anyway. You can have my toenails. You can have my beard. I'm probably going to donate my beard to some poor bald-chinned bastard sometime in the next couple of weeks. So that's as close as I'm going to get to donating my organs. Is hair an organ?
Wow, I'd love the idea that you could possibly be donating beard hair for bald-chinned people.
It's more brilliant. Common than you might think. It'll probably be a Japanese man. It might be pubes. Yeah.
Wow, that'd be great.
Speaking
your
of
your beard would make a wonderful set of pubes.
Speaking of pubes,
next story:
Prime Minister John Key will not commit the government to step in and pay court-ordered compensation to the families of those who died in the Pike River mine disaster. And that's fucking right. He shouldn't commit, and it shouldn't happen because that is essentially it's a fine that's been levied against the
private company,
a private company that operated the mines, which is not the government.
Oh, hasn't that company been bought by Solid Energy?
I don't think that's important. I think it should be the directors that pay. Because it was the directors who were in control of you know, getting this so badly wrong. They are the ones that need to be punished by this. You know, it's kind of a secondary thing to me that the families of the victims get anything out of this. You know, as far as I'm concerned, that money could even kind of go into the consolidated fund. The point to me is just that directors should not think that just because they have a limited liability company or they're incorporated in some sneaky fashion or through some sort of shell game, you know, with holding corporations or whatever. I'm not saying that was the case in this instance, but there should be a message sent to these people that if you misbehave, you will pay personally a price, and that might be a steep price. And no, I don't think that they should be shielded from
it. Energy, Pike River Coal is in receivership.
Right. Yeah. So apparently the directors even have insurance, and they have assets in more than a sufficient volume to cover the fine, the reparation. It was $3.4 million, which sounds like a lot, but one of these several directors had like $10 million worth of real estate or something. And he only needs to stump up for about a third of it, I guess. So, I mean, it seems like they should be able to find a way to pay. And I think it's absolutely appropriate that the government won't pay, won't cover it. But I mean, it's not like the government will pay your speeding tickets if you can't pay.
Maybe they will.
Of course they won't.
No. Have we asked?
Actually, empirically, I don't think that we have asked. But I suspect that John Key would be, he would not commit to doing it.
Right. Well, we never know till we ask. He wouldn't commit. No, certainly he wouldn't commit.
He wouldn't commit. Pepsi promises to stop using alleged carcinogen following pressure from health advocates.
Yep.
A year after California labeled it a carcinogen, they've announced that they plan to remove it from their soft drinks sold in the US. They haven't said anything about what is being sold in other countries. Methylimidazole. Football. That doesn't sound like something you want in a drink, does it?
Well, I'm not. No, who the hell knows?
Found in caramel colouring agents used in sodas, soy sauce, beer, and bread. I don't think that you should. Go on.
Other thing, just generally things that are coloured with them. Things that are brown.
I've got an idea for them. If, how about, I mean, brown is not an exciting colour. How about if your bread isn't brown, you just sell it in a pale colour? Or if your beer is light coloured, just sell it light coloured. Why would you put an additional colouring agent into your product? Why does your soy sauce need to be browner? Just leave it as its natural colour. I mean, if the alternative is putting a carcinogen into your product, just leave it its natural colour.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were making stuff at home, would you put an artificial colouring agent into your bread to make it look bread coloured? Or would you just cook it until it looked like bread? I would choose the latter option. I think that these people probably should choose the latter option as well. Northwest to make TV debut.
So apparently you'd have to drink more than 1,000 cans of soda in a day to reach the dosage at which some negative results were found in some lab rats.
Challenge accepted.
Good.
Do you remember when we had...
By the point you've drunk 1,000 cans of Pepsi, I think you're going to find... well, first of all, you'll be dead.
Yeah.
Mainly, probably... Well, who knows? You'll reach the lethal dosage of caffeine well before you get to this dosage.
1,000 times... What are they? About 375 or they're 325 mils now?
Let's say 355. It's about 8 ounces.
I don't even know why I did the maths. I mean, it's pretty easy to multiply a number by 1,000, actually, isn't it?
It's not that easy.
It's 355 litres, which is, you know, approximately 350 kilos of Pepsi. and I guess, I mean, what's the volume of that? It's, you know, a litre is 10 centimetres cube, I think, approximately. So it's quite a large volume.
Yeah, I think you should. You should probably not do it. Also, there was some confusion in the studies in the fact that the chemical itself actually appeared to reduce the incidence of tumors.
Yeah. Then I think we should all consume far more of it.
Yeah, we should all drink 1,000 cans of Pepsi a day.
And you will then be immune.
This is the problem I have with a lot of these things, is there are many chemicals in many things we consume, and there are many studies which raise various questions.
I don't think you should eat any chemicals, Dylan.
Okay. Has anyone looked into the issue? Did you know that the water we drink on a daily basis is more than 60% hydrogen? Hydrogen is the gas that caused the Hindenburg explosion. Hydrogen, you may recognize the name from hydrogen bomb.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, golly.
Yeah.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
What else is in this chemical cocktail?
Oxygen.
isn't oxygen responsible for fire?
Oxygen is a massive contributor to fire.
And oxidation? Doesn't oxygen cause metals to corrode?
It does.
So yeah, what do those two do in combination?
Who the hell knows?
And what would you even call a substance like that? That sounds terrifying.
I know. Of course, they refer to it by the PR-friendly name of water rather than a chemical name such as dihydrogen monoxide. Would you drink dihydrogen monoxide?
That sounds like something that the Nazis invented to put people in what they called a shower.
Well, the Nazis certainly used a lot of dihydrogen monoxide in their concentration camps, and their scientists spent a lot of time working with it.
That's terrifying, Dylan. I bet that Braun was involved in a lot of the early research on that.
Almost certainly.
I would like to put Chris Jenner in a dihydrogen monoxide bath over her head.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, she'd probably survive. So she has refused to rule out that her granddaughter, Northwest, will make her TV debut on her talk show. This is Chris Jenner, who is famous because her daughter is a fucking slut. And I don't use that word in a kind of a slut-shaming way that some people do. But let's not forget, the Kardashians came to prominence because of a goddamn sex tape.
Now, let's...
This is a disgusting fame-whoring family.
But
famous for fuck all else.
Let's also consider something else. Yes. I think the name Northwest is fantastic. She's gonna go up in the world and slightly to the left.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not my joke originally.
No, but let's pretend it was. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Good. Can we go now? Let's go. Let's be done. There's so much more to talk about, and we just shouldn't.
Ender's Game thing, we can save the Ender's Game thing.
It's just going to devolve, and do you know how it's going to devolve?
Are we going to start making fart noises?
No, I am going to Google myself, and I'm going to tell you what I find. So, do you want to stop that?
Go on.
Well, it's actually much the same as it was last time I Googled myself. Still that fucking furniture designer ruining my results.
Yeah.
Fish and chips.
Sorry, this show is cancelled. Beep.